accession number 19657, reel 2.
Mr. Scholes, reel 2. What preparations did you have to make for the south of France?
Well, usually we've done a couple of practice drops, you know, on a sand model. We moved up to Rome beforehand, like, you know, Rome had fell by then. And we moved up to, well, the only flat part in Italy is round Rome, you know. And we had a scale model, you know, went round, and this is highway so and so and so on and so on and so forth. And by the way, everybody in Italy knew that we were going to the south of France. That's how good the security was. Anyway, while we were on Rome Airport, these Americans came along, you know. Because the lads were saying to them, we don't want no repetition of what happened on Sicily. Because the land had dropped some of the lads in the sea on Sicily, you know. And this American colonel, I have to laugh. He said, listen, guys, we can drop you on a dime. All the boys were jeering, you know. Anyway, when we dropped, it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, as we were going over the coast, a couple of shots come up. They had some islands in, but not too long, further up, guns there. And they sent a few shells up and that. And then we dropped. But we finished up 25 miles away. This is how big his dime was. And one of my mates, Bill Heap, I've got a photo of him somewhere, he had a bad landing, you know, he smashed his knee. And we're all trying to get back to our DZ, our dropping the DZ dropping zone, was Lemwe. That was the place we were supposed to take. So we all started back, where he picked fellas up here, there and everywhere, you know, they're all over the place. And he smashed his knee. Well, anyway, eventually, his section stayed with him, like, you know, got him down to level ground. And on the way down, they met a bloke, a yank, you know, and he had no insignia on him or anything, just a yank. When he got down, he said, we better go in this place here, this knee of his is too bad, you know, it's going really bad. So anyway, they go in this French house, French people put up with them and everything, and this yank said, do you mind if I have a look at this fella? Oh, Dave Williams, the sergeant, he said, why are you? He said, well, I'm Major, I'm a medic. So you won't believe this, but this is true. So they put him on the table, and the Americans looked at it and said, well, if you don't operate on it immediately, he said, you lose a leg. This was in a matter of hours. So anyway, what he done, he said, has anybody got a sharp knife? So he got razor blades, and he done this on. And the section, three were across his chest, the others, you know, holding him with the pain. Anyway, he came round, right? They whipped him back onto the hospital ship, you know, as soon as he got down. And he got sent him right back to Italy. He never even seen France, Bill, you know. Anyway, I was with him a fortnight ago.
Did he make a full recovery?
Oh, he was jumping again in there. Well, he dropped on Greece. That was a few weeks after. He was a Lancashire lad, Bill, you know, but funny story. We had a bloke in our battalion named Alec Olney, was a great runner. He ran in the 48 Olympics in the 5,000 and the 10,000 metres. The only one who beat him was Zatopek. He was third or fourth anyway, Alec. And he had a newspaper And in it was an advert, girls wanted pen friends, of soldiers overseas. And he wrote Alec to this these girls, got an answer back, and Bill was one who got an answer back. And he finished up and he married the girl. That was in 44 that year. And she was a lovely woman, Joyce, yeah. I stay with them when I go down there, you know.
But coming back to the drop into the south of France, can you tell me what happened to you once you dropped?
Oh, well, as I say, we were scattered everywhere. And, you know, we had a password, one thing and another, you know. Anyway, eventually, we got about 70 or 80 of us together, and Coxon, our colonel, he was with us, you know, and he said, stopped, and he said, well, we've got to get to this Lemuy. He said, it's over them hills there, hills, you know, mountains. Anyway, eventually we got there about, I think I got there about 6 o'clock, the group I was with, you know.
In the morning or the evening?
The evening. Yeah, we docked at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know. And, well, the DZ then was just loaded with their parachutes and blankets, what they dropped, you know, and supplies. So we just took up the positions around the DZ, you know, in case the Germans counterattacked, because they had a lot of troops there, you know, they had an armoured division and God knows what. Anyway, it all went well until the morning. And then a couple of shots were fired, but it wasn't by the Germans, it was by our fellas, you know. So then we went up this, I get the number of it, Highway 4 or 6 or something, and we finished up on the top of Cannes, you know, Cannes is up, and we were looking down on it, but we weren't allowed to go in it. This was objective with the Americans, you know. We went into Le Mans. That's Le Mans there. Took that. Took another few little villages, you know.
Was there any resistance?
Oh, there was Germans there having to go, you know. But he didn't really put up much. That's where that Audie Murphy got his Congressional Medal of Honour. About a few hundred yards from where we were. It was an easy do, South of France. We had a few casualties, you know. One stupid fellow who was in the intelligence section, and the lads had took a German paymaster, and he had millions of thanks, but no good. You know, they were manufactured by the Germans. But the lads were sitting around in a classroom. We used to take over schools, you know, because there was more. And the lads were playing cards there like that. And this stupid sod picked up this Italian rifle, pressed its trigger, and he killed two of our own lads. Oh.
Who did that?
I can't think of his, never think of his name. He was in the intelligence section as well.
Why did he do it?
He just didn't know what he was doing. It was an Italian rifle. The first thing he should have done was make sure that it wasn't loaded. She was just on the bolt action, because all rifles have a bolt action. He should have just discharged a lot. Well, it didn't, two of the lads. Ralph Underwood, the sergeant, was one of them, and he got killed.
So it was an
accident. And he was an Anglo-Indian, Ralph. He was born in the army, and he went right through, like, you know, and to get killed like that.
So it was an accident caused by his ignorance?
Well, that's what it was, and he was supposed to be an intelligent bloke. He was in the intelligence section.
What happened to him after the shots were fired?
I got shot under close arrest, you know. No guard room, they just put two blokes looking after them, you know. There was another accident there, I know. Going over this wall to take Lumwee, or Lombos, one of them anyway. The officer put his, we had Thompson's, you know, we were supplied by the Yanks, put his gun down. He said, come on, Joe, get up. And Joe grabbed the thing and it went off, killed Joe. He was a Liverpool lad, I know, Joe. Good friend of mine. Oh, it's surprising what happens, you know.
Did you then push north into France?
No. We went, as I say, we went up to Cannes, stayed there a few days, and then we swept this valley. There was a big valley beyond, a mountain either side, you know. We swept this valley, had a couple of skirmishes and one thing and another, and then we went back to Italy.
What was the attitude of the French civilians towards you?
Oh, the Southern French. Oh, why, marvellous. I've got a tape. They gave us a, when we got invited to go to France, 50 years after, they gave us, I've got photographs there, I'll show you there. They were marvellous. They couldn't, you know.
Tell me what happened after you got back to Italy then, please.
Same old thing, training. Parachute drops. Done a couple of training drops and then went to Greece. We were never still.
Can you tell me what happened to you on the Greek expedition, please?
Well, on the Greek drop, we dropped in winds up to 25 mile an hour gusts. When the safety measure is 5 miles an hour. I think it was five or six, maybe more, got dragged to death, you know, they couldn't get out that harness. There was a place called Megara, it was a disused Greek airfield, about 12 miles from Athens, you know. And the special boat service, you know, they had boats and took us across to the, there was a, like a channel, you know, took us across the channel. We marched into Athens. They were giving you bottles of wine and flowers and God knows what, you know. So we stayed there 24 or 48 hours, and then off we went then to chasing it, following the Germans that were left. We followed them from Athens, met up with them now and again, you know, and to a place called Florina on the Yugoslav border. And we had to stop then because that was the job of taking Yugoslav. It was the Russians. We weren't allowed in there.
Did the Germans put up much of a rearguard resistance?
Only every so often. There wasn't enough of them really to, you know, all his good troops he'd got back and put up a line, you know, same as in Italy. And we took a few prisoners at Florina, that's right, the last place. There was 40, 50 year old, you know, what they call the Volkssturm, yeah.
How were they treated?
Oh, well, she sent them right back to Athens, and they got flown out to Canada. That's where the prison camp was, in Canada. Yeah, there was a bad dude there. Well, one of my favourite officers got killed, got dragged to death, Captain Marshall. Couldn't get out of his harness, you know.
Because of the high wind?
The wind, yeah. Well, once it takes you off the ground, you know, the high wind. And with the old-fashioned parachutes, like these ones now, they can collapse them and get out, no trouble at all. But in them, they were cumbersome, you know. We got dragged. I got dragged along the deck a little bit, you know, but managed to get out all right. Aye.
Did you see him get killed?
No, I wasn't anywhere near where he was. He was second in command of HQ company, I think, yeah. He was in the MMGs. Marshall. Oh, yeah. He's a hell of a nice man, you know. It's always the good that go first, you know. Yeah.
Were you taking many casualties on the push up to Florina?
Yeah, C Company got a hammer in this, what was the name of the place now? Oh, I can't think of it. Every place there began with L. Lavaria, Lamia, Larissa, you know, all started L. What's her name got killed there? And all the second in command, Captain Teed, he was of German descent, you know, he was second in command of C Company. He got killed there.
But you were still with A Company?
I was A Company, yeah.
Still with three platoon?
Oh, still with the same platoon. I stayed with them all the time. Until I got the ration corporal job at the end of the war. Yeah.
What happened to you once you got to Florina then?
Well, that was us stopped. You know, we weren't allowed to go into Yugoslavia. So we come back. And when we got back, 10,000 of these guerrillas come down in to Athens to chase us out. So we finished off fighting them. We were taking hundreds and hundreds of prisoners every day of them. You know, they're no, you know. But every one of them had a rifle, bandolier, even the women, a rifle and a bandolier. Whole lot. Yeah. Oh, why did 10,000 of them come down into Athens? What month was that now? We landed in. So, that'll be November. October or November, yeah.
Whereabouts would you capture them?
Well, we started chasing them then. Once the we got ourselves together, you know, the 23rd Armoured Brigade and the 2nd Para Brigade, we started giving them hidings then and chased them back up again.
Were they much in the way of fighters?
No, rubbish. We met one old Greek in Lamia, and he was an American Greek, you know. He said to us, "I'm the unluckiest man in the world," he said. "I came to Greece for a holiday the day war broke out," and he'd been stuck there ever since. And they were marching up and down, these guerrillas, you know, with all the weapons. And he said, "You see these bastards," he said, "all they've ever done during the war, they've never fired a shot at the Germans, is rob the villages. They haven't fired an angry bullet." That's right, that was an American. Well, it was a Greek, like, you know. He was about 75 then, he was. He'd looking forward to spending his last few years in America, you know. Yeah. Oh, it's the same as the Yugoslavs, they were the same. Of course, they were fighting each other. It was a bad dude, that Greek too.
Any incident you remember from being in Athens fighting the guerrillas?
Only going into houses and throwing a few grenades in and getting them out, you know.
And you didn't get wounded yourself?
Me, no. I got wounded in Italy. A bit of shrapnel, that's all, you know. You're called walking wounded. They didn't send you out of the war theatre. And we left after we got down. February, I think it was, the beginning of February. We landed there in October. We were in Greece about 6 months, you know. We had a hell of a job getting them out, like, you know, when they stopped and fired a few shots, but most of the time we mopped them up.
And you were operating in Athens all the time, or did you go?
No, we went out after them. We left Athens, and the next main place is called Lavardia.
This is chasing the guerrillas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They stop every so often, you know. But they were murdering their own people and all, you know. Shooting their own people, they were, you know.
Was there any Greek police force to help you?
No. The Greek police force? Well, they only lasted 4 days, I think, when the Germans marched into Greece, 4 or 5 days. And then they were occupied for a couple of years. No, to my mind, they're all backstabbers and backshooters. The Yugoslavs, the Greeks, all of them. All in the Balkans.
So, in February 45, what happened to you and the battalion then?
We went back to Italy. Some of the lads had got back to Italy and were on the way, and they got flew back to Greece. Because the fighting was still going on, you know. Then we left and went back to Foggia.
Was that the end of the war for you?
It was then, yeah.
Did you go to Palestine?
Yeah, I went to Palestine, yeah. That's when they treated us badly. We'd already been out there 3 years, and they sent us off to Palestine, and it was a million, never even left the country.
What happened to you in Palestine?
Well, Palestine, I had an easy job. I got the ration corporal job, you know. And all I used to do was go to different. You had to be alert, like, because the Palestinians were kicking up. Go down to the different companies, give the rations to them, you know. And then I came home.
Whereabouts in Palestine were you?
Well, I finished up at Lydda on the airfield, but we was in Rehovot, Gaza. That was the first place, Gaza, Rehovot, and Haifa, above Haifa.
Which years were you in Palestine?
45 and 46.
Did you see anything of the troubles there?
Oh, yeah, they hung a couple of our lads. The Jews.
But were you personally in any of the fighting?
In Palestine, no. No, we raided Tel Aviv a few times and took a few prisoners. They took Joe Stern's brother, he was the leader of the Stern gang, and his sister. They took them. And a few others.
Did you see them captured?
No. No, I think it's 6th Battalion of them. Oh, we were taking the odd one, you know, the odd collaborator.
Were you happy in Palestine or not?
No, I didn't like the place at all.
Why not?
I didn't. Just didn't like it. I didn't like the people either. Both Arab and Jew, you know. Because you couldn't get any sense out of either one of them. The Jews, Palestine belonged to them. The Arabs, Palestine belonged to them. And they could both make a good case, you know. Oh, I went over to what's her name once with her, while I was there. They were putting the Jewish immigrants in, you know, onto Cyprus, and we went over there once, and put a load of them into a camp, you know, put barbed wire up and put them in there. And then we went back to to Palestine. Then we come home.
How were the illegal immigrants behaving?
Well, as you'd expect, I'm indignant, you know. See, Palestine was their country, so they said. And the Arabs were there to get them out, stop them coming in. And we were the people who kept them there. You know, what the British Army were doing there, I don't know.
How do you feel now about having served in the Second World War in the Paris?
Oh, very proud.
Did you have any after effects of the war?
Oh, I was deaf for quite a while, you know. That was in Italy, where the roof got blew off the house, you know, in a place called Musciarelli. And there was a little Italian, Carlo his name was, and he'd been Mussolini's rep in this area, you know. It was in the mountain, like the wild path. And they were going to hang him, the locals, you know, we stopped them. Yeah. Musciarelli is called. Carlo.
How many of the locals were going to hang him?
The whole village. Well, he was the boss, you see. He could go and, like, under Mussolini, he could go and do what he liked, take what he wanted. Carlo.
How old was he?
He'd be about 45. He had his, what's the name, uniform, you know, the fascist uniform. Carlo.
Where was the village?
It was called Musciarelli. M-U-C-C-A-R-I-E-L-I, I think he spelled it.